We're going to have a look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 11 this morning. I panicked a little bit when Alistair, during our breaking of bread service this morning at 10 a.m, he went, "We're going to turn to Romans." I was like, "Oh no, surely not." But he was in Romans chapter 8, so we're going to be in chapter 5 this morning. But a few weeks ago, we asked what could hinder our worship in 2024. And hopefully, God willing, it was a challenge to us as we look to learn and to grow on our walk with the Lord, that we'll come up against struggles and difficulties. That's just a reality and a fact of life, is it not? We're going to come up against these struggles and difficulties. And sometimes we have to just check to make sure that we haven't swept anything under the carpet, as it were. You know, like when somebody's coming round and you hadn't realised, and they knock on the front door and all of a sudden you've got so much stuff to put in that one cupboard that it's not going to fit in. You know the one? Or that drawer in the kitchen that is just full of rubbish, and please do not accidentally touch that cupboard door or open that drawer. Is that just us? That's not just us, is it? You're just petrified that somebody might see it. And really the saying is, you sweep things under the carpet and it isn't long, is it, before they trip you up. And following on from that, we uncovered the key to success, that we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, as the writer of Hebrews says, the author and finisher, author and perfecter of our faith, that we're to fix our eyes on him. And sometimes, as we uncovered last week, sometimes that's easy, and that's just where we're at in our mind and our heart. And other times we're far from that, and it's not easy. And if somebody says to you, "Well, you need to fix your eyes on Jesus," in reality, all you want to do, I'll let you finish the sentence. But sometimes there are moments where that isn't easy at all. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 talks to us about a genuine faith, that it stands up to the test of difficulty and trouble. And this church is absolutely, God willing, what we are aiming for, that we're able to stand up to the test of the trials and tribulations that are going to be thrown at us, that we're ready and we're stood and we're firm. In essence, we are being right now, most of us perhaps, and some of us maybe in the midst of difficulty, so we're being reactive to the situation, but to most of us maybe this morning, we're being proactive. We're putting in the groundwork, readying ourselves for what's to come, knowing, because we're not naive, we're not daft, we know full well that there are going to be difficulties that are going to come in life. So I'm readying myself, armed with the word, making sure I've got the armour on, and I'm ready so that when the moment comes that I'm able to come through it out of the other side, as the Lord grows us and teaches us what we need to do. So often though, we have to realise, I guess we have to remember, and to do that we have to reflect, just what we have received, church, through Christ on the cross. For us to be able to overcome the difficulties, for us to be able to even stand up in the trial of difficulty, we have to sometimes just remember to reflect on where we are because of what Christ has done for us. And Paul here in the book of Romans, he's going to do that for us in this chapter. But the book itself, or half of this chapter, the book itself creates sort of a courtroom, if you like, if you were to picture it as such, where the whole world is on trial. And ultimately, we are going to be found guilty. Guilty for the sin and the corruption that the world has, that our desire to live apart from God. We will be found guilty for that. Yet even though that is the case, that the whole world is indeed found guilty, even though that's the case, God loves us. He loves humanity. He loves you and me. So much so that he made a way back to him, that this sin and this corruption had seemingly destroyed. Now we're just going to read verse 1 through 11 of Romans chapter 5 to give us a glimpse of this incredible outcome, if you like. But I'm certain that even in this small section of Scripture, church, that if you're alert, if you're listening and you're reading the Word with me and we read together, I'm certain that once we've done that and once we've looked together, that God will open our eyes to see the blessings that we have received. But also with that, our responsibility too, to deal with those things that are around about us, the difficulties perhaps that we come up against, or the things that maybe we've been placing under the carpet for a number of years, that when we realise what God has done for us, what God has dealt with for us, that it puts us, church, in a position where our mindset can change. So let's have a read together. It says, therefore, and I won't ask the question because you know what it is. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your word this morning. And we pray, Lord God, that you would just speak into our hearts, that Father, you would open up these scriptures to us. And Father, you would reveal to us something more of your wonder and your beauty. We pray, Lord God, that you speak to us now. You bless us, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What a rich section of scripture we've got this morning that the Lord's given to us. Paul is talking directly here to those who have accepted Christ as their saviour. Those who have said sorry for their sin and said, Lord, please come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. And his previous paragraphs to this, what we've got broken down into chapters and verses, the previous chapter and verses are also for the church. But they're centered around this faith and what he's brought to us, what faith in Christ and obedience to his word has done for us, that we've been set free from the chains of sin and death. And he says that's why it begins with the therefore, since we have been justified through faith. And because of that, because of what we've received, because we've been justified through faith, it says in verse 1 then that we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That I can have peace and you can have peace with a holy and righteous God. Now you might think, well, good. Surely that's how it should work. But as we're going to see, we were enemies of the cross. We had chosen a direction that was opposite to God. We had chosen death when all he wanted to do was give us life. We'd chosen sin and corruption and all the things that are opposite to God and his character. We chose those things instead of him. But even though that is the case, because of what Christ has done and our faith, church, in him, We are now able to have peace with God, even though we didn't want anything to do with him. And church, just that one line, if you just read it and think, well, it's just a line, or you don't take it for what it is, there's enough in there to last you a good 3 months. That is so rich. Because when you start to unpack that, it's just beyond our understanding, quite honestly. And I've mentioned it so many times before, and now we know it's in the book of Peter, that in fact even angels look into our salvation and are completely and utterly bemused by it. It makes no sense that we are able to have this peace with God because, church, of what he's done. We've been justified by the life, death and resurrection of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins have been no longer counted against us, but Christ has carried them on himself to the cross and dealt with them once and for all. Him who knew no sin took upon himself our sin to deal with it once and for all. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 will give you the verse that goes along with that. And because of all this, we now have access to God. What was impossible has been made possible through Christ. It's a result, church, of God's love for us, as we'll see. That we are now in a position, as we've accepted Christ as Saviour, to be in a relationship with a loving God that I didn't deserve, that I could never earn. Doesn't matter how good I am, doesn't matter how kind I am, doesn't matter how much I give to charity, doesn't matter what I try and do to earn it, I can't earn this relationship with God. But one already has. And his name is Jesus. And the word tells us that if we're to put our faith in him, we're to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. And that sounds so easy. Well, because it is. The gospel, the good news of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't there to trip you up or to stumble you. It's there to show you that there is an opportunity at life. God has made a way where there was no way. And often in life we think, well, until I understand all of it, I'm never going to accept because I have to grasp it all. Church, I'm still learning. And I've not met a preacher yet who isn't. I've not met a teacher yet who isn't. Still learning, still growing, still finding things that they didn't even know about. Still being amazed by verses perhaps that they've read 1,000 times and go, well, I've never seen that before. Church, that's the joy of the Word of God. That it is so rich that we can never get to a point where we go, the Bible, I've ticked that off. That just doesn't happen. So don't think that you've got to know everything. Don't think that you've got to understand it all, because it is not going to happen. Faith as small as a mustard seed, the word says. That God, I believe that you exist. God, I believe that I have done wrong things. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out that I am flawed and I have failed. But God, I know that you've made a way for me through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the cross, I can have a relationship with you. Lord, please forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart. And it's that simple. And church, once that happens, the Bible tells us that we receive the Holy Spirit. There probably won't be flashes of lightning. The angels will be rejoicing, but you probably won't be able to hear them. But let me tell you this, that the moment that we accept Christ as Saviour, the Holy Spirit enters our heart, and I will never, ever, ever, and you will never, ever, ever be alone again. You are saved, redeemed, set free by the work of the cross. And one day you will see your Saviour face to face. And it isn't going to iron everything out in the moment. You're not going to go, wow, it's incredible. All the issues I've got have now been ticked off. No. But let me tell you, he is always with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. If you've always wanted somebody to have your back, why not go for the one who doesn't fail? Amen? Why not go for the one who doesn't fail? Church, this here, as we're seeing in this small section of Romans, as Paul is writing, is just so rich. It offers us now in verse 3 through 5 a reality, but not in a sort of a sad way, but a view from one who overcomes. And let me just read it for you, because the reality, when you read it first off, you think, well, this is difficult. It says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Well, that seems a little bit strange, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So there, in a nutshell, I know that it's not going to be simple and easy from the moment that I accept Christ the Saviour. But what I do know is I am on the side of one who has already overcome. Amen? I'm on the side of one who has already overcome. Jesus, if you remember, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Church, that's the Hebrews that we read last week. That is what has happened. He has overcome the difficulties and the trials of this world, and he has dealt with sin and shame once and for all. And the Bible tells us, so far have my transgressions been placed from me. They're as far as the east is from the west. And I wonder whether you've ever tried to measure the east from the west. I understand it's impossible. You see, this is what we have in and through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that were counted against me that said, Matt, you are never going to get into heaven. Matt, you are never going to have a relationship with a loving, righteous and holy God. It's not possible, mate. God went, I love you enough to send my very best for the very worst of you, Matt. And he is good enough. And he has done what needed to be done. And all you have to do is put your faith and your trust in him. And then we then, church, as we've done that, in the midst of difficulty, trial and tribulation, we realize this reality that in actual fact that we are able to overcome because he has. And as we see this verse 3 through 5, knowing that Christ has overcome, that he did so by having his gaze fixed, and we saw that last week, not seeing the difficulty in the moment, but the joy beyond the trouble and the trial, that now then we know that he has overcome and we are able to do that in and through him. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But the week ahead, Matt, looks terrible. How am I going to possibly get over it? Am I possibly going to get through it? Church, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it might mean hunkering down. It might mean getting the sandbags out to make sure that the water doesn't creep over the edge. It will definitely mean placing on the full armour of God. It will definitely mean spending time on your knees until they're calloused because of the amount of prayer that you're having to offer up. But church, I will just reiterate, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And church, we have a hope that is steadfast and sure. The real joy that we have is now seen in these next few verses. Verse 6, you see, at just the right time, while you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Stick your name there. God demonstrates his own love for you in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When you put your name there, it changes the emphasis because it becomes about you. And often church, as a church and as one of the leaders of the church, I say, well, it's not about us. You know, in this moment, it's about you. It's about you. The gravity and the magnitude of what is being said here is life-changing. This moment here is about you. God demonstrates his own love for you in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And maybe you don't know Jesus as your own personal saviour today, but I'd encourage you not to brush that moment off. I'd encourage you not to brush that verse off. Realise what is happening here, that God loves you enough to send his very best for the very worst of you, that Jesus would live the life that we couldn't, to go to the cross, to bear the punishment that I deserve for my sin and my shame, that he took it upon himself. So then that I have an opportunity, you have the same opportunity to be forgiven, to say sorry for the sin in your life and to ask Jesus into your heart. It's a priceless gift that you have the opportunity to take hold of today. The reality then, as we gather here this morning, is that we have been set free. We have been forgiven. We have been justified and can have a relationship with our God and Saviour because, church, of what he has done for us. Nothing that we could possibly ever do could earn it, but God freely gave. And that is the majesty of the gospel. We have been reconciled to God. Simply, we have been restored through Jesus' work on the cross back into a relationship with God who is perfect. And 9 through 11 says this: since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. What an incredible moment. Sometimes then, church, it's necessary for us to just view what God has done for us. Sometimes we have to sit and take a moment to reflect. Sometimes we have to see what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus was willing to go through all of that for you and for me. And when we view it, as I said at the beginning, in all its glory, ultimately I believe that if we take it on board and we process it, that we will have a desire to be better. We will have a desire to grow closer to him. We'll have a desire to try harder. We'll have a desire to fix those relationships that seemed unfixable. For what we can do and our part in that we will do our best. And that's all we can do. You can't do their bit for them. But you can do your bit. Because Christ was willing to fix the relationship between us and God. How much more then should that enable us to say, I can try my best to fix those relationships, to heal those wounds, to deal with those issues? We want to press on, don't we, church? Amen? We want to push forward, knowing in our hearts and our minds what he's done for us, what he's doing for us. And when we do that, it releases us to say, God, you are able. You're able to do what needs to be done. And Father, that you would help us do that. Lord, we just want to thank you this morning that we've been able to look into your word. Father, that you have just revealed to us all that you've done for us through your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in just these few moments. That, Father, we have come back into a relationship with you as we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, a position we never deserved. But Lord, your grace is enough. And Father, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that he was willing to go to the cross for us. Lord, he was willing to take upon himself our sin and our shame. And Lord, I pray this morning that if there's anybody in this building that does not know you as their own personal Lord and Saviour, that your Holy Spirit might move. Father, that lives might be changed. And Lord, I pray for us that have accepted you as our Lord and Saviour, Lord, that you would help us with renewed vigour to step into tomorrow, to know that you overcame, to know, Father, that we have strength in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus. And I just ask that you would just help us and strengthen us, bless us as we move forward. Lord, all of these things we bring before you in the name of our precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.